You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries. Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Morning, folks. Welcome to Lifeline. Dr. Bob here. Look, it's always good to come and be with you every Saturday morning, bring you the word of the Lord. Listen, if you have friends anywhere in the world, they can pick our program up. Just go to WCNO.com. Then scroll down to the word on demand. Click on that. And then click on the calendar. And any Saturday, now this is on the internet, anywhere in the world, any Saturday, we have, my son Lynn and I have about 2 years of teachings on here. So you can just download, you can podcast these free. But if you really want to learn and you really enjoy these teachings, share them with your friends. Also, I want to share this with you. Easter Sunday, First Baptist Church, Jensen Beach, is going to be doing a sunrise service at the park over at Indian River Drive. It's a beautiful place, just absolutely beautiful, overlooking the water. Free coffee, free donuts, and my son Landon will be drumming. And this guy's a master drummer. Come and check him out. So come and bring your family, bring your friends, and come and spend time with us and enjoy the sunrise service. Also, if you're looking for a good church, right across from Whitney's in Jensen Beach, First Baptist, right there at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. All right, I want to talk to you today. I've been sharing on the Holy Spirit. I've been sharing on the spirits of God, the Spirit of God, and God the Holy Ghost. This is the fourth week. I thought I'd wind up this week, but probably not. It's probably going to go through next week before I totally finish this teaching. But I've been sharing on understanding the Spirit of God. And one thing I've really just put a lot of thought in this, and I'm talking like 40 years studying this subject, really studying it and studying the church and how it works in the church and why it don't work in the church and what churches the Spirit of God seems to work in more than other churches. And I just wanted to really share with you one of the reasons I am believing that you do not see the gifts of the Spirit of God operate so much in the church is because we don't have the offices established in the church properly. Listen to this now. Ephesians 4:10, when Jesus was lifted up, He gave gifts unto men, but I don't believe the body of Christ is operating in the fullness of their potential, not for 1 minute. All the Bible should work. These gifts should work. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If we ever got them, well, we have them. That's just as simple as that. If we ever got them, if they're ever given to us, we should own them, we should have them, we should operate them, and we are not doing it. We need to understand these gifts because they are still here. We need the power of these gifts operating in the church. I mean, we really need these gifts. We need everything we can get from the Lord that He gave us to operate the church. We need to use these gifts to help God's people, to help the church, to build the kingdom of God. And have you noticed the condition of the church? I mean, they have the same divorce rate as the world. Really, not much difference. I mean, really, their kids are in jail, on drugs, just like the world. Something is not right. And this is not God's best for the church. This is not God's best for God's best for the body of Christ. Look, but I say this too. Now, even though your church does not recognize these spiritual gifts and operate them, you can have whatever you can believe for. So don't let that hinder you. If you're seeking God, if you're hungry for the Lord, don't let what you see hinder you. Go for it. Just seek the Lord with all your heart. Look, half believe the gifts are for today and half don't. You can't, and something is not, this can't be right. Half believe for today and half don't. So there's a problem here. Something's just not quite right. Most Christians have settled for the mundane and not the power of the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you would have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you'd be witnesses in many other most parts of the world. I find most Christians don't have that great power of witness that we should have when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Look, this is a very important message. I really want you to listen, and I really want to share with you the gifts of the Spirit, but we have to clear up some things before we can even get there about the proper order of the church and the proper offices. We cannot understand the gifts of the Spirit or operate in them unless we understand the proper offices that God has set in the church. Father God has set different offices and ministers in the church that bring or operate in His power, but the church has disannulled or discontinued some of these offices, such as the apostle and the prophet. Now, notice the evangelist seems to be getting very, very scarce in the church. We're kind of leaning toward a one-man rule, one man is everything. That is not the order of God, and you're not going to operate in the gifts and power unless you use all the offices in the church. It all depends on what school of thought you're out of. Look, I put a lot of time in this because I love the church. I study the church, and I really do. I care about the church. I care about the people of God. So I really do my homework in this stuff. It all depends now on the school of thought you're out of. Let me just take a minute here. I look at it kind of as a circle. We have a Baptist circle. We dunk when we baptize. The Methodists, they sprinkle. The Catholics baptize babies and high on communion. We just seem to divide here and find our own comfort zone. Then tradition begins to rule. But the church is a wonderful place. It does God's work. It does good work, but cuts itself short of God's best. In other words, what the church does, it does well. What the church does, it does good. What the church does, we need more of, but it still cuts itself short of God's best. The pastor, for instance. Do you know how many times the word pastor is mentioned in the Bible? In the New Testament? One time. He carries the weight and burden of the whole church world. He can't be everything to all people. Is he the prophet? Is he the apostle? Is he the evangelist? Where are these offices, you know? One time in the New Testament, that word pastor is mentioned. Only one time. We put everything on this poor guy's back. We want him to bring us everything from God. How can he? Elders and bishop is mentioned about 42 times in the Bible. I think 23 for elder, 19 for bishop. Where are these guys? Really? I suppose today, the elders and bishop have their job description in the Bible. It tells how they operate. So probably this is what we call the pastor office today. He's combining them both, and that's what he does, I guess, because he's only mentioned one time in the Bible. The missionary, what a great work. I love it, and I'm involved in it myself. You know how many times a missionary is mentioned in the Bible? None. It don't exist. Never mentioned in the Bible one time. But you know, we do a great work there because we control it. It's something we can control. We can send money. We can send people. We can control. Now, that's good work. I'm involved. I've been involved. I enjoy it. I work with missionaries. I respect the work. But nevertheless, the missionary is not mentioned in the Bible at all. So, see, we put a lot of emphasis on him. But the apostle's mentioned 52 times. Do you know the apostle in your neighborhood? The prophet's mentioned 73 times. Do you know the prophet in your neighborhood? Oh, now you know the missionary. But do you know the apostle that's mentioned 52 times in the New Testament? Do you know the prophet that's mentioned 73 times in the New Testament? Now think about this. See, we're not in proper order. And that's why we are not getting the results we need. That's why we're not operating in the gifts of God as we should. Until we get ourselves right and get in proper order of the church, we can't expect to operate in these gifts and power. The church seems to operate in what it can control. That's what it does. It operates in the things that it controls. But they all do great work. No question about that. Let's take the Pope, for instance. Pope controls the biggest part of the church in the world, I suppose. The largest body of the church, he controls. You know something? He don't exist in the Bible. Where's the Pope? Where is he in the Bible? Is he an apostle? Is he a prophet? Is he a bishop? Is he an elder? He controls over half of the known church world, and the guy don't really exist in the Bible at all. Think about that a little bit. Are we out of order? You know, we reject the offices that God set in place, then we establish our own. That is not God's order. I mean, this is Bible. We're either going to do Bible or we don't do Bible. The Bible don't change. God set these offices in the church, which we reject, and we establish the Pope, we establish the missionary. I mean, and I'm not having a problem with anything. As long as people are doing the work of God, call them what you want, do it what you want. But nevertheless, we don't acknowledge the offices that God set. Now, look at this. This is really big. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Now let's look at how God set the church up. This is it. Now this is God's word. And God said, Now that's big. And God said, when God says, God said, and God said, some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teacher, pastor. Well, you didn't mention pastor here, but we assume that the teacher, pastor are one. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. See, these particular gifts follow these particular offices. The people that stand in these offices, you should expect to operate in these gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher. They should be operating in these gifts, miracles, healing, government, tongues. This is the way the office is to step. And look, God set these people in the church. You know how long God's been around? You ever look at God's resume? Think about that. Who are we to change when he set in order? He set these gifts in the church. Look at this. Ephesians 4:10. Paul said, he, Jesus, remember I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of God, ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors. This is the only time the word pastor is mentioned in the New Testament. Pastor, for the perfection of the saints. And look what they're for now. For the work of the ministry. For the edification of the body of Christ. What more can be said here? What do we have left? With one office, one horsepower. That's the pastor. That's not good. That is not good. Or the Pope. But look how Jesus said, look how Jesus gave these gifts. Prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, apostle. He gave us these gifts for the work of the ministry. Listen to this. And this is there. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ. I ask you, are we perfect yet? These men build the kingdom of God. These men teach us about the gifts. These men bring us the presence of God. That's what they do. Well, we're down to one here. Well, we're down to a pope and a pastor. Really. We've eliminated here the apostle. We've eliminated the prophet in most cases. We've eliminated the evangelist pretty much. And we're down to the pope, down to the pastor. How are we going to get the work done that God set in order? God set in order first apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And then he gave us the gifts. Jesus, when he was lifted up, gave these gifts to the church, apostles, pastors, teachers, to edify, to build, to do all that we need to do. He gave us the offices to get it done with. And we've discontinued them. We've disannulled them. It's not good. It can't work. This is why we are not seeing the gifts that God operate as it should. This is why the church world is a mess. And this is why the church is not very stable. This is why we have as many in jail as anyone else. We have as many abortions and as many abortions as anyone else. We are not in proper order. We're just simply not. For example, Paul said, how is it then, brother, when you come together, every one of you? Now, wait a minute. Everyone is who? Everyone. Have a psalm. Have a doctrine. Have a tongue. Have a revelation. Have an interpretation that all things be done and edification. Then he goes on really detailed and tells how all these gifts operate. It's very simple. Did you see that Sunday in your church? Do you expect to see it tomorrow? Really? He said, listen to me now again. When you come together, that's when. That means tomorrow, Sunday, or today if you're meeting. When you come together, every one of you is a lot of people, have these things. Have a doctrine. Have a psalm. Have a tongue. Have a revelation. Have an interpretation that all things be done to the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we need to talk about this. Are we going to believe all of Paul's teachings or not? I said this? We should be hearing from the Spirit of God at every meeting. Really? He said, have a tongue. Have an interpretation. Have a revelation. Are we having any of this? We should be hearing from the Spirit of God when we come together for meetings. How long has it been since in your meeting you heard from the Spirit of God? Let me just do this again. Paul said, how is it then, brethren? This is the order of the church now. When you come together tomorrow, Sunday morning, every one of you, that's all of us now. That's the Pope's people. That's the pastor's people. That's all. Have a psalm. Have a doctrine. Have a tongue. have a revelation, have an interpretation that all things be done. That's what he's saying here. The Lord wants to speak to you when you come together. The Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, wants to minister to you. But we're not hearing that. We're not doing that. We need to talk about this. We really do. We need to listen to Paul's teachings, or either we don't. But this is how we need to talk about it. But we take the easy way out. You know how we do it? I'm studying the church. I'm studying the pastors. Most of it's fear. They don't have the faith for it. They don't have the confidence for it. And they've risked it. They're afraid to take the risk. They're afraid to let somebody stand up in church and prophesy or speak in tongues because it might offend someone. They don't know how to control it. They don't know how to manage it. And yet Paul laid out the detail has to be done. It can be so beautifully taught from the pulpit, but it's just not. We do the things that's safe. We do the three songs. We do the message. That's absolutely safe. But we just eliminate the move of the Spirit of God. And we cry all the time and we sing songs about the Spirit. We don't no more believe that in the man in the moon. If we do, we practice it. We just talk about it. We do. We get in the church and come Holy Spirit. I mean, all right? Give him a chance. You know, we don't do that. We just simply talk about it. We just do what we can manage. This is tough, I know, but we really do what we can manage, what man can manage. Look, let me just interrupt myself here to say this to you. If you're out here today and you're really hurting, suffering, just you could be going through something awful, 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 and you need somebody to pray for you, you call me and I'll pray with you. Our number is 221-1100. That's 221-1100. I'm alive here today, or let's help here, 888, Lord, and this is 221-8999. If you're really hurting, you have no one to talk to, you're just going through a bad scene, and you need somebody today to stand with you, pray with you in the name of the Lord, you give me a call, I'll do that, okay? Acts 2:14, the prophet Joel, when the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "You men of Judah and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my word. For these are not darkies, you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I love this when I'm sharing sometime. I say, how many people believe it's the last day? Every hand will go up in the meeting every time. Well, okay, if you believe that, here's what he says. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Let me ask you something. In the church, is your sons and daughters prophesying? "Your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall see dreams." Listen, this has got to be one or the other. If you believe it's the last day, this is what you should expect. Really, if you think it is the last days, you should see your daughters begin to prophesy. Your sons begin to prophesy. Really, this is Bible. Do you do Bible or you don't do Bible? Verse 18, "And all my servants, and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I will pour out in the last days, he said. I'll pour on your son, out on your sons. I'll pour out on your daughters. They'll prophesy. And you just, if I guarantee if you're in the meeting, I ask you if you thought it's the last days, your hand will go up in a minute. But then when I read this, you don't want to hear it. Something's not right here. We are not in order. You cannot believe this is the last days if you're not encouraging your sons and daughters to prophesy, if you're not teaching this and teaching us how to do it. But you can't do it because you've eliminated the apostle. You've eliminated the prophet. You know what I mean? You've eliminated the people that bring these offices to us, the evangelists that teach us these things, to help us to grow in these things. Okay, so listen. It says, "I challenge any man to show me where, who, or how, or what has authority authority to change God's word or alter the things that's gone out of his mouth on this subject of the office of the church." It's just not in the Bible. Not one change. What happened here? This is simply the work of men. You cannot alter or change what God set in the church. There's not one verse of scripture for it. Not one. And a lot of the churches think, well, you know, the 12 apostles did that. God did away with it. How's that possible? He said that in the last days you pour out the Spirit, your sons and daughters will prophesy. This is a lie. You've been believing a lie. It's not true. It's not true. We're just simply not right here. We need to change. We need to do all the work of God. If God set these offices and Jesus gave these gifts to the church, who was big enough to make the changes? What? Did the church just simply not agree with God? If Jesus gave these men to minister to us, who removed them? It just can't be done. It cannot be done and the church be right. And that's why we're not, we're weak and we're sick, and we're not seeing the power of God, and we're not seeing the gift of God in operations, because we've changed the order of the church. I also notice the church does not acknowledge the office of apostle, prophet, seems to operate in a higher level of spiritual power with these gifts than those that don't. But they're mostly in Pentecostal type churches. Mention one church I watched on Sunday night, 10 o'clock, Gateway, Robert Morris, Texas. Southern Baptist pastor, 28,000 people in his church. Now he's open. He believes in the full power of God. He operates in the gifts. he acknowledges the apostle, the prophet. He gives $1 million a month to missionary work. $1 million a month. He's got his church in proper order, letting the Spirit of God move, establishing all the offices in the church. I mean, tell you, it can be done. All we have to do is get out of the fear factor and get into the Spirit of God. This is Gateway Church, by the way. We have to just begin to trust the Lord and not be in fear and not depend on ourselves and not depend on how we run and manage the church, but let the Spirit of God move. Have you noticed the condition of the church? It's really not all that good. It's just really not. There's much more. When you come together, every one of you, you see, the Spirit of God should move in our meetings. But we've eliminated that. For the most part, we're not even taught these things from the pulpit. My friends, you know that about 40 years after Paul gave us these teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, did you know that every apostle was passed away within 40 years? You know that? Do you realize then that all this, chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians would be null and void after 40 years, would be worthless? No possible way. Can you imagine 3 chapters of Paul's writings being not valid after 40 years? I mean, really, we really need to think of where we are. Ask your pastor, what 3 chapters of Paul's writings being not valid after 40 years? Then ask him for chapter and verse. You most likely would just take the guy's advice. Because he can tell you, there's not one chapter, there's not one verse that gives us the authority to change the things that God's spoken or the word has gone out of his mouth. It can't be done. It's all a lie. It's all deception. It's all putting us to sleep. Mark 16:17, Jesus said, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. See any devils cast out in your church lately? See them? Are they casting out devils? Plenty of them around. Jesus said, they shall speak with new tongues. Think about that. Jesus said these things are happening himself. When I left here, see, we've done away with him when he left. That's when he really should have started. When I leave, he said, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe me. Well, let them follow. If you shut these offices down, how are the signs going to follow? How's the body going to be edified? How's the power of God going to operate? This is not going to happen. Jesus said we'd speak in new tongues. Well, do you believe what Jesus said? Well, I'm not going to have time to tackle all the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to just maybe talk about one. But next week now, please, next week, remember this. I am going to take on the gifts of the Spirit next week. And I'm going to have a calling session. You can call in. Ask me any question you ever want to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they operate, who they operate, and I'll answer for you. Okay, what it is, you can call next week. And I'm not going to do any teaching this week. Just talk about these gifts and how they operate. But right now, let's just touch on the gift of tongues. I have a little bit of time left here. Can every person speak in tongues? That's a very good question. Paul does make one statement that makes it questionable when he says, can all speak in tongues? But can all pray in tongues? You just simply have to seek the Lord about this subject yourself. And many say, if he wanted me to have it, he'd give it to me. That's most like a lie from hell. God wants you to have everything. God says, how much more will he give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? God don't want to hold anything back from you that edify and builds you up. So that's a lie. That's just simply a lie and a cop-out. That's a cowardly way out, okay? Chapter 14, 13, Paul said, covet the prophecy. Now, that's big. Covet the prophecy. Well, we're not hearing it. We're not being taught. But Paul said, covet to it. Forbid not to speak in tongues. Would he be talking to a few or all? He says, forbid not to speak in tongues. Would he be just talking to a few, you think? I'm going to let you just wrestle these questions yourself, and you can get your scriptures and go to chapters 12, 13, 14, do your own research here. He said, I want you to do this. Think. The reason we put so much emphasis on tongues is because we seldom, if ever, see a person operating the other 8 gifts unless he spends a lot of time praying in tongues, because that is how he builds his spirit up. Corinthians 14:4, praying in tongues edifies you, builds up your spirit. That's why we put emphasis on tongues. It builds up your spirit. Now, when you speak in tongues, it takes you to a whole new revelation and understanding of God. You could be a Bible scholar, study the Word until you know every color in Joseph's code or from Genesis to Maps. But when you begin to pray in tongues, you access a whole new spirit realm of understanding. God is spirit. Now, when your spirit prays, the Holy Spirit uses your spirit and not your mind to bring your prayer before the Lord. You completely bypass the mind realm. There's no bit of doubt. That's good. Your prayers are pure and holy and not always about you or your needs. Listen, Paul said in 14:4, 1 Corinthians, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays." Wouldn't you like for your spirit to be able to pray? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is not approved. What is it then? I will do both. That's two different things, any way you look at it. He said, I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Notice now, this is two different things. This is two different things here. This is a good question for us. Should it be for everyone? He said, I'm going to do both. Should you be able to do both if Paul can do it? Should it be for everyone? Real power ministry operates out of spirit, not out of the mind. Good information that you can learn comes out of the mind. That's just the sense realm itself. Tongues takes you above the natural man. Your spirit touches God's spirit, while the soul touches the natural man. Corinthians 14:2 says he speaks mysteries unto God. Verse 4 says he edifies himself and builds himself up before the Lord. Verse 5, Paul said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. That's good. He must be able to do it. He wouldn't have said that. We can all pray and speak in tongues as in giving messages and interpretation, but I think we can all pray in tongues if we just seek the Lord about it. I'm going to start next week and give detail on this subject and take you through every gift. But right now, just begin to think about the things I've said. And you really need to operate in the spirit and power of God. Paul said over and over, I wish you'd all speak in tongues. Well, that tells me right there that he wants us to do it. That tells me that it's available. He says pray in the spirit and pray in the understanding of. That's two different things. So you think about these things, okay? Look, we need help here. We really do. We're just really struggling for finances for our ministry here. And we need financial help. We just ask you to really help us out, small or large, just whatever you can do. We'd appreciate it very much. Our address is Bob Allen, Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Bob Allen, 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Again, I need money. Listen to me. Bob Allen, 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Or email us at BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Just have to remember three words, BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Now next week, I'm going to really do details on every gift, how it works, how you can have it, and answer any question that you have. I have a call-in session all the time. I'm talking anything you want to ask. BobAllen@gmail.com. BobAllen, 1603 Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. God bless you. We'll be back next week with you again. I'll try to finish this message. We love you. And God loves you. You need to know that. Seek the Lord with love. Just seek him. Say, Lord, this man's been telling me a lot of things. I want to walk in your power. Do it now. Have a great day. God bless you.
958 is not...
You've been listening to Lifeline with your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Bob Allen Ministries, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.